Hello, and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice, which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy.
Hello, everybody. My guest is Susan Hawkins, one of the founding directors of PQ Plus, Practical Quality Plus, and it's been a while since we've caught up, so this is quite the fireside chat.
Indeed. Hi, Kathy. Great to be back.
I can tell how long it is since we spoke because we both have plants in our offices and the plants are bigger than the last time we saw each other.
That's a pretty good indicator. Yeah.
Tell us first up about PQ Plus. You guys have been in this space doing awesome work for a long time now.
Yeah. So we started out almost 7 years ago now. So I've seen a lot of all of the major changes that have happened in the NDIS over that period, from the transition from the state-based arrangements through to the NDIS commission. And now, of course, we're seeing the next round of massive changes coming through as well. So we've really focused around helping people understand their compliance requirements, helping them understand what quality management is and how it can actually benefit them as a business, but helps mainly to provide safe services for their clients. So it's safety for workers, safety for the business, and safety for clients. So we talk a lot about risk management along the way, and we set people up with the scaffolding that they need to develop those systems and implement those systems too. So very much we're a service that kind of helps people where they're at. So wherever they're at in that journey, whether they're just starting out, they're an established business that's been around for ages but needs help with their systems. We work with people where they're at with their compliance requirements.
Who are your clients?
That's an excellent question. Our clients are everybody who could be an NDIS provider. So we've worked with people who supply and install gates on properties. We've worked with builders. We've worked with allied health owners, business owners. We've worked with some very large not-for-profits who deliver supports across the spectrum, so SIL and SDA and mental health providers, and everybody in between. Your sole traders who just want to deliver services to, you know, a handful of participants, independent support coordinators, larger support coordinator businesses. So we really are across the whole gamut of providers out there.
Something I wonder about, and sometimes I hear, and, you know, I'm just going to be careful being a Facebook warrior here, but or keyboard warrior, but sometimes businesses or business owners think they're not complex enough or big enough or old enough, and that the quality and the safeguard strategies and systems are something that they'll deal with later. Is that a thing, or is it just my imagination?
Look, I think it really is a thing. And the temptation there is to deal with it later. But by the time it's later, it's almost too late. So you know, we really advocate for starting out in the way that you intend to proceed. And then that way you've got the systems in place, you know how they operate, you know them inside out, and as you're growing, if that's what the business wants to do, you're able to then grow those systems as the business grows, and you're not trying to retrofit a system, which is a lot harder than starting out that way.
And so your quality and your safeguarding, your risk are all business as usual. It's what you do every day or week or fortnight or
Absolutely. And there's nothing really in the quality and safeguarding requirements that I wouldn't expect a business to have those systems in place anyway. So the only difference is there's a few hurdles in terms of there's specific legislation, there's the audit process to check on those systems, but there's no reason that you wouldn't be thinking about risk anyway as a business owner, or how you safeguard your clients, or how you support the safety of your team out there delivering the services as well.
With the businesses that you know and those that you've worked with, what do you see the benefits of having this in place and operational day after day? Like, you get to see them longer term as well.
Absolutely. And look, it's really a lot of the satisfaction I get out of what we do is coming back and seeing how those systems have worked years later. What I've found is often, and particularly with allied health business owners as well, it's really overwhelming when they start out and they kind of go, oh goodness, you know, there's so many systems here. How am I ever going to get my head around what they are? But it doesn't take that long before people start implementing those systems and then realizing that actually having that process and that system in place is actually enabling their business and frees them up to do the work that they need to do. So I think going from that sense of overwhelm and so many different requirements to this is business as usual, this is just how we operate, is the really interesting space for me.
Yeah. I think it brings in that sleep at night factor.
Absolutely. And I often say to my clients, you know, part of my job is to help you make sure that you sleep the night before your audit. Yeah.
I'm thinking back to a conversation I had with a business owner that I knew, and it was a very bold conversation and I loved it. And her audit was, I think, a week or 10 days out, and we were having a bit of a beverage. And I said, what have you, you know, what do you need to get done for your audit? And she said, nothing. We're deliberately not selecting not to overwork it, dig in, make it look better than it is, because she said, we believe that from our previous audit, if we're not using our own inbuilt mechanisms and measures, we shouldn't deserve to get, you know, full compliance. That defeats the purpose of this rush every couple of years. Yeah. And she was so adamant about it. And I just remember, I can still hear the words, I can still visualize where we were. And that kind of sums it up. We should be good enough day in, day out, that we don't have to put in the 60 hours in the weeks before audit. And she sailed through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that level of confidence and, you know, being
a realization of what you've invested in.
Yeah, absolutely. And trusting those systems, what a place to get to. I mean, that's the goal.
All right. What a ripper. What a ripper. All righty. So it feels as though there's, oh, God, the old cliche, like, let's not go the island or the lifeboats or any of those things. Let's go with the cliche. There's a lot of moving parts in the NDIS right now, but I think the number of parts and the speed at which they're moving is related to the review, the NDIS review at the end of 2023. Mm-hmm. Nothing like a review to get people's hearts fluttering.
And, you know, released just before Christmas too, so just in time for the holiday period.
I think it was a Friday afternoon too, wasn't it?
It was. It was indeed, yeah. And, you know, they used to say when NDIS was first rolling out, it was a bit like flying the plane as they were building the plane. That's, well, I think right. They're still flying that plane and they're rebuilding the plane as it's flying. Yeah. So, you know, like, this is, I can really understand that people are, you know, have a degree of change fatigue that is beyond, you know, really what we can entertain, you know, because it really has just been change after change after change. And I think since the since the review was released, there's been there was a real kind of wave of anxiety and stress about what all of the recommendations might mean. And particularly, I guess the biggest one, I think, well, one of the biggest ones has been around this requirement for all providers to be registered in some form or another. Now, I think, you know, a lot of the talk that's been out there has really kind of misunderstood the intention or why that recommendation would be in place in the first place. So if you think about it, for 10 years, there's billions of dollars, which is government or taxpayer money, that the government haven't been able to actually determine where that money's gone.
What the outcomes of that investment have been.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for a government to just be pouring money to somewhere where they don't know where it's gone, what outcomes there have been, well, they can't continue to do that. You know, so the challenge I think that the registration task force have got is because the NDIS review has kind of suggested a risk proportionate model of registration, where different providers, where different businesses might fall within that, I think is going to be the challenge. And I think really, you know, for your audiences as well, you know, allied health was really absent from that part of the recommendations where they were talking about the registration process and what that would mean. So, you know, I can imagine that there's huge amounts of stress and anxiety out there because we don't know what's coming. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know if it, you know, is just a tweak on the current registration process, or whether it looks, you know, radically different. Yeah. So.
What do you know about the task force? What do you know about this registration task force?
Look, being led by Natalie Wade, I think the task force is going to do its job. Now, look, I would encourage everybody to get involved in the consultation. There is a consultation open at the moment, and it closes, I think, at the end of April, 28th of April, somewhere around there. But it is the opportunity to have a say in this system and what it might look like going forward. And so particularly because allied health was absent from the detail around that proposed new framework, I really encourage everybody to think about putting in a response to that consultation. But look, I think it will be fair, whatever comes out of this. I don't think that the level of scrutiny on the process will lessen in any way, and so I think, you know, they've got a challenge ahead of them, really, because there's obviously been quite a pushback against the registration process, both from the provider market, but also from some participant advocates as well. So they've got a real challenge ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. I think the use of the word registration was quite triggering because a lot of business owners, allied health business owners, instantly and understandably jumped to certification, verification, and the registration process as we know it. But it may not look like that.
No, absolutely. And I think earliest indications actually might mean it's a lot easier for people. Yeah. In our health community to register. I think, you know, what they've done is they've split up the registration into four levels. So at the most basic level, you have an enrollment. So that's simply, it's going to be an online form. Right? So there's no audit attached to that. And it's simply kind of registering yourself as part of this scheme as a provider. Next level up is your basic registration. Now, what we're thinking is that the majority of allied health is going to, or those who would be registered for therapeutic supports only at the moment, are likely to fall into that basic registration. So what that's likely to mean is there's no audits, However, there is still a requirement to do a self-assessment to show that you would meet some kind of slimmed down standards. Now, they will probably, what we're thinking is they'll look a lot like the verification module of the standards at the moment. So that gets simpler for those who are registered or thinking about becoming registered for only that therapeutic supports. The question mark for us is really around early childhood.
Yeah.
Because in one breath, the commission have basically stated that early childhood providers and SIL providers are a priority in terms of the registration process. Early childhood versus SIL, vastly different services. So, you know, how they do that and what that prioritization means, we don't know. But it, obviously they're kind of looking at the early childhood best practice framework as well. So they're putting a lot of resources into that space. And of course, then attached to that, you've got the foundational supports strategy as well. So So the question mark still is around where the early childhood guys will land within that new framework. But again, you know, what this new registration framework is trying to do is trying to say, look, based on the size, complexity, and the scope of what you do, the audit process should reflect that. So what's happened to our audit processes over time is it never did reflect it, and it's got worse over time. So hopefully,
you might say more and more inconsistent.
Absolutely.
Agree. Like what one auditor wants is seemingly quite different from what another one wants.
Absolutely.
We won't go there because we both have jobs.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for a business like ours, it's really important that we get involved in that consultation because we're really privy to lot of that, you know, the auditing process and the consistency of auditors and what that's meant for people. Whereas, so we've got that on scale where, you know, the task force might not have insight into that. So, you know, we'll be getting involved in this consultation too, because the audit process is just as important as whatever that registration framework looks like. The system to check it is, equally important.
And then what about that top level of registration? What's your crystal ball telling you about that?
Yeah, so look, top level being advanced, really these are going to be, I would say, is going to be SIL particularly, and organisations where they're delivering supports to really highly complex clients. Mm-hmm. It's hard to kind of pop all the SIL providers in there because I think they will be, absolutely, as they should be. But I can't see early childhood falling into that top level, you know, all of the requirements required. I can't see that. I would imagine they're going to land somewhere between general registration, which will still mean audits, but what those audits look like we just said, or, you know, it may even be basic in some circumstances too. Yeah, unfortunately, we just don't know yet.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we'd love to chat with Allied Health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
So here's a hypothetical. If you were on the task force, you most likely should be, what would you want it to look like?
Oh, that is an excellent question.
Look, you are welcome.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Look, what would I want it to look like? I would want to see that there is true proportionality taken into account in terms of what the registration requirements are. I think that the way that people understand quality and the way that the standards are set up aren't easy for businesses to understand. And of course, you know, they're already indicating further requirements in terms of outcomes measurement as well, which is like, you know, we're far away from doing outcomes measurement if we can't just get the basic systems and basic processes in place. So yeah, proportionality absolutely would need to be looked at. The level of risk, I think, is really important, because I think that, you know, for years I've been seeing practice even in registered providers, not in allied health, I have to say, but outside of allied health, that within registered providers, that is, it shouldn't be happening. And I think, you know, we got an example of that in the Four Corners example as well. But there's a lot of it out there, unfortunately. So I'm absolutely for full registration for everybody, but proportionate. On the other side of that, I would want to see auditors receive more training, and increase the consistency across, you know, the size, scope, proportionality, service types that they audit as well.
I would add one more into that, and it's a bit like the example I shared a few minutes ago. It's about how to support business owners to implement confidently and to be in this mindset of growth and positive change, so that there's not this dread associated with, you know, our audit's due in September. It's our audit's due in September. We're tracking really well. And so that maintenance support, I think would be an absolute game changer.
Absolutely. Yep. Support in terms of capacity building the sector to understand what it means, what it could look like. It's critical, because otherwise you're right, you've got a whole sector out there panicking, where actually if you take a really measured approach, it can be really straightforward.
Yeah.
Other things will give you problems.
which, plenty of them to go around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So unfortunately you're not on the task force, Susan. What do you think the timeframes might look like around this new four stack of registration, or whatever they decide to call them?
Okay, so timeframes that have been indicated so far is that there will be a process to at least enroll everybody within 2 years.
Yeah.
So that puts us the end of 2025. There will be a process. I think the challenge, one of the many, many challenges the government has in implementing this and getting it happening, is they have to have their IT system set up to be able to do this. And considering the issues that have come up around the PACE system, it's going to be a massive challenge.
No risk sitting there at all.
No, absolutely. So I think what we'll see is the registration task force are due to basically release their, or, you know, publish their findings in July. From there, there's already indications around what standards might change and what additional standards there might be as well. So I'm sure there's work going on now, working on that. So look, if I'm going to say crystal ball, I think, yeah, we might start to see it at the end of the year. We might start to see some indication of what a transition period will look like.
Yeah. We've probably both seen questions pop up on socials or elsewhere. I'm a registered provider. Should I proceed with my registration this year?
Absolutely. I totally agree. Because if you're already in that regulatory system, you want to be in there. Yeah, absolutely. I think what we're going to see is if we consider the number, the vast number of unregistered providers out there, what we're going to see is a real rush towards getting registered. I think we're going to see some operators drop out. I think we're going to see lots of sales of businesses and acquisitions going on. I think we're going to see a big shift in what the market looks like. But it won't change the fact that due to the sheer numbers of unregistered providers out there, that there will be some, it's inevitable there'll be a rush and there'll be a waiting period for the registration. So, yeah, I would say if you're already in that system, stay in the system.
We've heard that the cost of this most current round of audits is significantly increased on their previous as well. And I can understand the temptation to question whether we stay registered.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an interesting one because it was a recommendation a couple of years ago that the auditing companies would be transparent with their pricing structure and that they would be published. And so that hasn't happened. Along the way. But, yeah, look, I think it's all about managing risk. I think if people are in a position where the risk of becoming unregistered can be managed in some way, you know, with the business, you know, operating outside the NDIS and that can be, you know, buffeted, then, okay, that might be a strategy. But I would even suggest for those who haven't registered, but this is obviously coming, and I'm talking particularly for those who are just doing therapeutic supports, but even those providers who are doing early childhood as well, I'd really consider beating the rush and starting that process, because then by the time the changes come, you've got those systems implemented, whatever they look like, they're not going to be so drastically different that you'll have to change everything.
I guess that's about striving to create an environment of quality and safeguard and risk management that is comparable to the NDIS requirements without necessarily going through the flaming hoops to do it.
You're
compliant but in a parallel universe.
And I think that's another strategy for people. So if you don't want to go through the registration process, don't have the cash to go through the audit, set up those systems. So we've worked with loads of providers who go, do you know what, we don't want to be registered, but we want to make sure that we're doing this really professionally and we've got those systems in place. So we've helped loads of people do that. So that's another option is to actually just start looking at those systems, implement those systems, and be ready to jump once we know more.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you want allied health business owners to think about, read about, listen to, in readiness for?
I think the main message is don't panic, because all of these changes will take time. You know, while they're saying a two-year period for everybody to be registered, that's likely to look like, you know, everybody is enrolled. So basic business details are enrolled, and then there'll be a transition period for whatever that registration process looks like next. So I think not panicking in the first place is really important. The second thing is really start doing some risk-based planning. You all know your businesses, you know your client, you know, proportions in terms of NDIS participants versus other schemes. Start thinking about where you're going with that business and what some of these changes might or how they might impact on your business and what that might look like going forward. So it's never too early to start that risk-based thinking.
I'm having very delightful visualizations of one of your spectacular risk management spreadsheets. Remember you shared it with some of our members a couple of years ago, and it was just glorious. So it's on the record, Susan. That is a spectacular piece of work that you can help
with. Thank you. Yeah. Look, it's part of that process too. And I think, you know, obviously as we know more, we'll be making sure that we're publishing blogs and being on the socials about, you know, how people can start thinking about that. So we have already published a couple of blogs around the recommendations and strategies for how to think about it, how to think about what's coming. So I'd encourage people to jump on there, you know, just let us know if you want to be on the mailing list, because we will be doing more of that as time goes on as well, just helping people to understand what it is, and then just in a really measured way, here's some options to think about.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about encouraging people to participate in the consultation process with the registration task force. What could that look like?
Look, the consultation looks very, it's very, very simplified. It's basically an online submission. So that I don't think at this point there's any opportunities to have an actual conversation. And the task force have got a couple of different questions to get people thinking about how they might engage or how they might think about that registration process. But I would really give the task force, give them your story. So yeah. if you're a business who crosses over therapeutic supports, early childhood behavior support, even tell them what your experience of the registration process and the audit process has been. And if you've had multiple, you can say, here's the inconsistencies, here's where we struggled because, in our sector, this may or may not apply, or this could look differently or something like that. So I think the more kind of like I'm talking about a case study type of approach, but yeah, I think that makes it real for those who are reading the submission as well.
Yeah, it sort of sounds a little bit more like a business case, but not so much a spreadsheet type look and feel, but a very, dare I say, assertive factual narrative about this is our experience, this is our situation, almost what we're anticipating as well. Because unless small business owners, allied health business owners get in and provide input, they will remain unheard. And the big noisy voices, and we need them as well, but the bigger, noisier the voices will potentially have more influence.
Absolutely. And I know that the peak bodies will be involved and will likely do a submission as well, but don't rely on them. Because like you say, the loudest voices will get heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty. So we've sort of covered off the registration piece. Maybe for the last few minutes, I think it's really important that people hear about, perhaps in a little bit more detail about the work that you do. What that work looks like.
Yep. So, one of the main things that we do when we help people register is we spend time to really understand the business. So, particularly, in the allied health space, people often have already, they're using some digital systems for HR maybe, or for rostering, or for whatever else. So what we do is really understand the business first and foremost. But we work with people to really embed a set of policies that meets the requirements for the NDIS. The documentation is one thing, it's really important.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, it's even more important that you understand what's in that documentation and you understand what those processes are. So I spend a lot of time with people talking through how to implement the system, which also looks like how to prepare for your audit, because it is one and the same thing. It's a collaborative process. So while I'm in effect, I'm teaching people how to do it, I'm also setting tasks. So I'm expecting that our clients will kind of pick up the challenge and say, yep, okay, I've learned how to do this now. I'll go away and work on it. And then we come back together and I can provide feedback and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? So documentation on one hand, implementation and capacity building is super important. The other thing that's really important is that once you've been a client with us, we're always here. So even if our engagement ends, with that first audit, I'm always here for questions. I'm still talking with clients that we were one of our first clients back 7 years ago. So I kind of encourage people to keep the relationship alive, because that's what you're doing. You're not just buying documentation. There's loads of consultants out there who just sell documentation and say, here you go.
Good luck.
They can do that. But our focus is really, like, you work with us, you have a relationship with us.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's our kind of our registration support. For those who are already registered, a bit worried about what's coming or have an audit coming up and a bit worried about it, we do offer an internal audit process as well, which is effectively like a mock audit, but with the added benefit that I can give you all the advice and strategies and action planning that an auditor can't do. So you're really then absolutely prepared before that audit happens. So encourage people, if they're thinking about that, to, you know, get in contact at least 3 or 4 months before your audit's due, because in that way you've got enough time to go through that internal audit process, but then you've got the time to process that and also address anything that might come up as well.
Wonderful. So good to catch up.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, absolutely great to talk about all of this.
Oh yeah, it's kind of onwards and upwards. It's a bit about being informed and connected at the moment, I think. It's interesting you say that about, you know, clients who you've been working with over the course of 7 years. We experienced something similar, that and our phones have sort of been ringing a little more than usual with clients that we may not have engaged with for a year or two, just coming back saying, what do you think about this? Can we just grab a chat on this? And I think that sort of is largely connected to where we started our conversation, that there seems to be some warp speed on some things. There seems to be some, you know, real unknowns. I think we've been caught out on a few things, that a whole lot of work behind the scenes was done last year around this foundational support piece that we're now witnessing sort of commercially. And so I'm a big believer in business that you need really good people in your corner, and you may not be kind of in conversation with them all the time, but you just need them in your phone to sort of grab and go and reconnect. And like you said, sooner rather than later, audit eve is not the time for a phone call.
Definitely not. No, yeah. We can't help you very much then. But yeah, look, I agree with you. It's having that relationship with those advisors that you trust, so that, you know, it also kind of helps manage that anxiety and that stress around what might be coming, because you know that the information that you're being given, you can trust, because there's so much noise out there, right? Some of it's good, a lot of it's not, and you can't trust it. So yeah, having those advisors that you really can trust it's absolutely important.
You can have the last say, Susan. What would you like to leave ringing in listeners' ears?
Look, I'd say, for all who are listening, regardless of where you are in the NDIS provider land, whether you're registered, whether you're unregistered, with all of the changes that are coming, just keep breathing. Keep breathing and seek out the support when you need it, because the help is out here. There's Kathy's team. We're here to help, and there's loads of other people who can help. So don't ever feel like you're on your own in this.
Takes a village to raise a business.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Kathy. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.